We are in a series on a new year, a new you. And last week we talked about our heart and how God wants to create in us a clean heart, a new heart, one that would be for Him, in allegiance to Him. This morning we're going to be looking at the mind. And if you'll remember, I told you last week that the Old Testament view of a person was the heart, soul, heart, soul, and body. And so the Old Testament, when you look at the Old Testament, that is what they see a person as: a heart, a soul, and a body. And if you look at your Bible, you will see verses that have the word mind in them, but they're going to mean two different words, two different Hebrew words. One of them is, well, I don't speak Hebrew, so I'm going to butcher these, but it's lev, and also nefesh. Those are the words for heart and soul. And so when they translate it into English, sometimes they use the word mind. But there really isn't, that's not really a Hebrew concept or an Old Testament concept of the mind being the place of understanding. That's more of a New Testament or Greek concept. And so we see that more in the New Testament. I want to quickly read from the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible. It says, the basic patterns of Hebrew reasoning continue in the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The conception of mind appears quite rarely. When used, it is mostly in connection with the heart. For example, the imaginations of the heart in Luke 1:51. The only other occurrence of the word mind come in the statement of the great commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. The gospel writers are unanimous in their agreement that Jesus added with all of your mind to Deuteronomy 6:5. In Mark, however, the questioner, when he's responding to Jesus, repeats the command of Jesus, but with a word for understanding in the place of the word for mind, Mark 12:33. In other places, Jesus connects the process of thinking with the heart. Matthew 9:4 says, but Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? He makes the heart the source of the acts of a man. Matthew 12:34, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I say that briefly just to point out, not necessarily to get into this big philosophical discussion about what is man, but more just to say that what Jesus is really saying here is love God with every part of your being. Everything that you are needs to be loving God, right? Jesus didn't add "and your mind" because he thought the Old Testament writers messed up and forgot part of the body, and now people, you know, we only have to love God with 3/4 of ourselves, right? No, the point is that whoever you think you are, whatever you think you have, right, whatever you got, love God with it, every part of your body. Now, Paul really explores the concept of the mind in his writings. And so the question is, what is your mindset? What is your mindset on? Romans 5:8 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, fleshly minded, is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. At the beginning of Romans, Paul is talking about how there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. He is not saying that we need to get rid of our physical bodies or that our physical bodies are evil, but he's talking about our flesh, our sinful nature. And he's saying our minds need to be set to be thinking about, to be disciplined, to be living according to the Spirit. And so we have this choice. Do we set our minds on the flesh or our fleshly desires, or do we set our mind on the Spirit's desires? Another way of framing this is, are we going to be blinded or are we going to be believing? In 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, Paul says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age, Satan, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Literally creating this picture that Satan is standing between the light of God and this person, not allowing them to see the beautiful glory, the beautiful light that God is. That he's literally blinded them. 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, our minds are a very important part of who we are. And when we do not obey God with our minds, when we do not worship God with our minds, it begins to be corrupted. Romans chapter 1 walks us through this process of how this happens. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who, here's the first thing they do, they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They say, oh, that's not really that bad. It's not really that bad. You don't need to get so upset about unrighteousness. It's okay if we have a little bit of unrighteousness. It's just freedom, right? Be tolerant of unrighteousness. The first thing they do is they suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, love and joy and peace and all the other invisible attributes of God, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So first, they suppressed the truth. Then, they did not honor God as God, nor were they thankful. And then they became foolish, and their hearts began to be darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their own bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So we see the next step then is that God allowed them, gave them up to uncleanness, to follow the lusts of their flesh. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. And even their women exchanged the natural use for that which is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. God gave them up to uncleanness. Then he gave them up to vile passions. And now we see the next step here. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do the things that are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who know the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, and not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Their minds have become filthy. Their minds have stopped working the way they're supposed to and become, what Paul says, debased. Not thinking correctly, not working correctly, messed up, perverted. Any other word you want to use. To where they actually support doing the very things they know they ought not to do. They're crazy. That's the slope that happens when we don't follow God in obedience to loving Him with our mind. And the bad news only gets worse. Because here's the reality. That is true for each one of you and me. There's been times where we have justified, and it might not have been that long ago, where we justified our own sinful actions and our own sinful desires because our mind is not thinking correctly. It is not set on the things of God. It is set on serving our own selfish desires, our own lusts. It's easy to look around at the world and say, wow, we are messed up, right? They say liberalism is a mental disorder, right? Have we heard of that? You know, the liberals say that, I read an article that one of the Virginia Democrats are saying that people who support the Second Amendment have mental illness because they don't want to give up their guns, right? It's easy to look at other people and say, hey, you're messed up, you're crazy. But the reality is, we ought to look in the mirror and say, you know, when you decided to do that, that was absolutely stupid. So what do? We're talking about a new year, a new you. How about a new mindset? Ephesians 4, 17 through 24 says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Anybody watch the Super Bowl? My goodness, some of those commercials, it's like, do we have any standards left in this country? And hopefully you didn't watch the halftime show. My goodness, I did not watch it, but I heard about it. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We need to put off that old mindset, to put off that mind that is against God, that mind that justifies disobedience to God, and be renewed and put on the new man, the new mindset, which is according to God. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Paul is saying, listen to me. Listen to me. I beg you. I beg you. I command you. I implore you. Please, by God's mercy, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your reasonable service. This makes sense in light of what we now are. We are children of God. Not to continue to walk in all of those former conducts, but to be changed. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to have our mind transformed to where we no longer justify our sin, but instead we repent and turn away and no longer continue in it. Paul says to the church in Philippi, he says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if there is any comfort or hope, if there's any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself, and let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. This new mindset that we need to have is one of humility. It's not about me, 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 me. It's about looking around and saying, what can I do for you? What can I do for my neighbor? What can I do for my wife, my children? Instead of what can they do for me? And Paul goes on to say that we should have the same mindset as Christ, who, although he was God, did not have a problem with being humbled and coming in the form of a man and even dying on the cross. We should have that same mindset. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for others, to lift them up, to encourage them. Why do we need to love God with our mind? That's what I want to close with. Colossians 3, 12 through 17 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above these things, and all of those are good things, it's things that we teach every single week to our children, to you as believers. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The bond of perfection. That's an amazing concept. That we can be perfect. How? Through love. Through putting on love. That mindset. Not serving our self-interest. Not serving what can I get out of this relationship. But saying, I want to love you. And that starts with loving God. You cannot love your neighbor if you don't love God. And you can't love God if you don't love your neighbor. It all goes hand in hand. 1 John 4:12 through 16 says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. And by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. And whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. In our times of discouragement, in our times of sadness, sorrow, pain, depression, loss of hope, we need to love. Not only with all of our heart, but with all of our mind. With all of our understanding. We need to hold on to love. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Love is the bond of perfection. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your love. We love you because you first loved us. You demonstrated your love on the cross. And then you invited us to share that same love that you demonstrated with our neighbor, with our family, with our spouse, and even with our enemy. God, that concept is totally unnatural to us. It goes against the fiber of what we want. Because what we want is our selfish desires. What we want is our flesh to be pleased. And Lord, we need to get rid of that mindset. We need to put it to death. We need to learn self-discipline. Just like as if we were going on a diet, we would discipline our body, we need to go on a diet for our mind. And discipline our mind to be thinking about what you want us to be thinking about. Or we can go to Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, and have a list of the things that you want us to be thinking about. If we're confused, The truth is there. But Lord, so often it's not the confusion that befalls us. It's our lack of love for you. It's our lack of being committed to following you and loving you with all of our mind. And we give a place for the devil to ferment discord, to invite sin into our life. So Lord, I pray that this morning that we would repent of that. Lord, that we would come to you in prayer and say, God, I want to love you with all of my heart and with all of my mind. I want to give you every thought. I want to take every thought captive under obedience to you. And Lord, I pray that we would be men and women who love God with all of our mind. And Lord, we know that when our mind is fully in obedience with yours, we will experience the joy of the Lord that is totally beyond understanding. So, Lord, we look forward to that. We thank you for your love for us, and we ask you for the strength, the supernatural ability to love you and our neighbors as ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.